Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for joining me today. Today I'm going to be talking to Helen. She is an acupuncturist, and we're going to talk about all things the basics of acupuncture, its role in hormone health, and especially in hypothalamic amenorrhea. And we also touch on its role in disordered eating recovery. Really hope you enjoy this episode. Let's welcome Helen in. Hi, Helen. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Shannon. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, of course. I'm happy to have you here. How are you feeling today? It's mid-March that we're recording this, so spring is in the air, right?
Feeling good, feeling that increase in energy we're getting with the progression into spring. So
Yeah,
it's
for
all
sure.
good.
And actually today, or like over the weekend, time zones changed in other parts of the world. Like in North America, they went into their springtime, so it's for sure
Yes.
spring coming in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, love that. Well, I'll give a bit of intro on why I invited you on the pod, and then you can tell the listeners a bit about you. So I met you, I think a couple of years ago, on my very good friend, my very good work friend, Alex Ockel. She had a community called Weight Inclusive Training, like Weight Inclusive Professionals. And we had like sessions together, like group supervision. That's where I met you. And I've always been interested in like talking to you more because I think you were the only person who wasn't like a nutritionist or dietitian that I was aware of in the group that I like interacted with. And I knew that you were an acupuncturist, and I was like, that's really cool. So that's why I wanted to talk to you. And yeah,
Yeah,
that's how we met.
I loved that little community. It was
Yeah.
a really good opportunity to speak to people who were really experienced, and Alex always brought in really, really brilliant speakers. So yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it was a nice community. And it was lovely to meet yourself and Alex and the others. And I know I think I was the only acupuncturist in that group at the time, or that was on the calls anyway. So yeah, that was a few years ago. My name is Helen Falvey. I'm an acupuncturist based in Galway in the west of Ireland. Next month will mark 8 years that I've been in practice. And few years ago, when I first found out about the anti-diet approach, I became really interested in it. It made so much sense. I could see the way people were struggling. I could see the way weight loss wasn't sustainable and caused more problems than it solved. And the more I learned, the more useful, the more I felt that it would be important to incorporate this into the way I worked.
Yeah. All right. So it's actually been a long time you've been an acupuncturist, like almost 8 years. And when is it that you found the non-diet, anti-diet approach?
Probably just before I joined that group, so maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, which is a long time, right? Actually, I actually can't believe it was so long ago. I think it was like 2021, maybe.
It might have been around that. I think that's
Yeah.
right. Yeah.
All right, I have some really basic questions about acupuncture.
Great.
They're probably ones you hear about all the time, but I'm going to ask them because I don't know too much about it, but I'm really interested. They're going to be basic. Is that all right? Are you ready?
Yeah, that's super. I always like the opportunity to explain, because I still often meet people who don't really know too much about it, so it's great to let people know.
Yeah, all right, cool. Okay, my first question is, okay, I'll tell you, first of all, I'll tell you kind of my first time coming across acupuncture. So obviously I've always known it as like a thing, and I've always been like, okay, cool, like that's a bit interesting, right? And it's always like, oh, that's cool. The first time I properly came across it was when I watched the Grey's Anatomy spin-off Private Practice, and one of the characters, she had acupuncture because she went to LA and it was like a holistic health clinic. And she was working there for an episode and she got acupuncture and she had this whole kind of like emotional release after, like, while she was having acupuncture. and it was like a big revelation for this character, blah blah blah. So that's my kind of first proper time, I think, coming across acupuncture. And I basically know that it's needles that go into like the skin, and this is equated to like certain parts of the body and has some sort of reaction. That's like the most I know about it. So can you explain what acupuncture exactly
Yeah, of
is?
course.
And am I like right? Is it just needles or is it other things?
It's mostly needles would be the main thing. Now we do have some other supporting things as well, but the needles are the most important. But we do treatments without needles occasionally as well. So we might use cups, or we might use moxibustion, which is a herb that we burn close to the skin, and it brings warmth to the area and increases circulation. So that's another way we help. But yeah, I wasn't aware of that episode. I remember it was on ER, all right, and it was just mentioned in passing, and we're like trying it, and we're like, yeah, it's great. Oh, I don't know, and then they're like, yeah, it's great, it works. So I always loved those little mentions you see in on shows. Sometimes they're better mentions than other times, but yeah. So I like to explain it in a really simple way so that people can understand it and remember it. There's more than one way to explain it. There's different mechanisms, because there's a lot of different mechanisms that may be going on when the needle is placed. But one way we do it is that, so there are fibers around nerve endings, and the fibers get stimulated when the needle is inserted in the skin. That in turn stimulates the nerve. The nerve, of course, communicates up into the brain. That signals the brain to go into a rest state. And then once we're in the rest state, we can sail into parasympathetic, and then the body can start recovering itself and doing what it needs to do. So that's one way of explaining it.
All right, cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I wonder your clients, so you have an in-person clinic based in Galway, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Remind us what your business is called. It's called the Glow Acupuncturist, am I right?
It's called AccuGlow Acupuncture Clinic.
Ah, I love that. That's a lovely name.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess in Galway, in your clinic, what kind of clients mostly come to you? Like, what are they struggling with?
It's interesting. One of the things I love about my work is that I get people from all kinds of backgrounds, all ages, and coming in for all different things. But I suppose the most recurring themes would be, so the pain side of it, because the first thing people think of if they don't know much about acupuncture is that, oh, it might be helpful for pain, but it does help a number of internal conditions as well. So we do a lot of things to help people with their menstrual cycle. We help fertility, we help digestive issues. And then there are so many people that need help with their anxiety, their depression, their insomnia, and things like this as well. So we help people with this, and of course people are often coming in with more than one thing going on at a time, so it may take longer when there's more than one physical, mental, or mental emotional issue combined. But we can work together over time and get through those things as well.
What's your fave thing to work with?
In terms of quick results, because I like getting things going quick. I like when people come for, say, pain issues, say maybe their shoulder, they have a problem in their shoulder and it's causing migraines, or one of the ones, because they'll have been elsewhere and it doesn't always work, is plantar fasciitis. And I have a really good technique for getting really good results with that. So, and because it can be really, really debilitating when you have intense pain in your feet, it's really, really life-changing for people. And then insomnia can be fixed quite quickly, even if it's been going on a long time. And then in terms of the things that may take a little longer, but it's extremely gratifying, is the fertility work. And I got much more specialized in that only in the last just over a year, because I did a diploma course in it, and yeah, it's just been brilliant to be able to give the clients that bit extra help and support. And so we work together for a bit longer, and and then we can get the results, and then we help them through the pregnancy and things like that as well, and after. So that's a nice part of the job.
Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, I imagine helping someone with like their pain. I imagine it almost feels magical, right? Like godlike almost.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good. Yeah.
Cool. I have another few questions about acupuncture. One thing I've always wondered is, are all acupuncturists, are they all the same? Like if I go to one down the street from me, is that the same as going to someone else? Like, is it kind of like therapists? Like everyone's kind of different?
Everyone's very different. Yeah, it's down to, because we do our core training and then we can specialize in as many things as we want. And there's so many that it just, once you graduate, a whole world of possibility opens up, because there are so many teachers that have just dove deep into one niche. There are hundreds of teachers, and they might all be treating just one thing in particular, or they might just have a very special technique. And so what ends up happening is we do courses every year. We have to do our continued professional development, just like yourself or any other professions. And we just add on every year. We're adding on, and sometimes we kind of blend them together as well. So yeah, you can end up with very, very different treatments based on who you go to see.
And when you say techniques, you said you have like a specific technique that you do for, I can't say it, plantar fasciitis.
So it's a more of an orthopedic technique, and we're working on correcting the function of muscles in the leg and in the foot, and that tends to get faster results and more lasting results. So that's one technique. And then if somebody else comes in to me and they have, say, back pain, we might choose between that or another technique where we might use the more traditional, we'll just say it's called the traditional acupuncture from our core training, or we might needle hands and feet sometimes. It's called distal acupuncture. So like I say, so many different ways to approach it. And, you know, it might sound like, oh, you know, different people do different things, but actually it's great that there are so many different ways to do it, because if one thing doesn't work well or suit a person, then we can find another way to help them.
All right, cool. All right, I love your explanation of acupuncture and kind of the things that you help people with. I have one final question about acupuncture, and I hope it's not gonna rub you the wrong way, which I'm sure it won't. But one thing, like, so if I said to someone in my family, for example, like, oh, I'm going to have acupuncture, they say, oh, like, that's not real. Or like, what is that? Like, they're kind of skeptical about it.
Oh, I've heard it all.
Yeah. So like, this is like funny to ask, but like, is acupuncture based on like science? Like, what's the kind of basis of it? And what are the like misconceptions, and where does it come from, basically?
Okay. Well, I have a way that I've been asked this, of course. I've been asked this in the past, so here's how I like to explain it. Yeah. So it developed before science as we know it. So they had to, you know, if you look at the terms used that are translated into English, it was all terms like nature, like your wind, your cold, your heat, but they were really scientific in the way they went about it, how they recorded what helped, what didn't help. They thought, well, you know, these external pathogens get in, and then they do, you know, they are doing harm in the body, and we need to build up your defensive, they called it your defensive chi, and we called it our immune system. So they just had different terminology. And then the research wasn't good at the start, because they were trying to put needles in the body away from acupuncture points. But when you're inserting a needle in the body, you're creating a physiological change, whether you're on an acupuncture point or not. There are lots of acupuncture points around the body. So, you know, it wasn't a really good way to do the research. So the way the research should be done is that it's not against that, but it could be against no treatment, or it could be against the other way that we would care for somebody. So if somebody had back pain, we might compare it with painkillers, physiotherapy, and acupuncture. We might look at how these three different ways compare or how a combination of those physiotherapy and acupuncture might compare, because I do certainly send some of my people that need more help, they go for physiotherapy in between. And the research has gotten better and better through the years, and there's a few good groups doing really good work on bringing the research to the public domain. And one is evidence-based acupuncture.org, so that's one place to look. And Google Scholar, of course, has a lot of the research there as well. And yeah, it works. I can say it works anyway. See it every day. And so
yeah, and also, I mean, so many things that we class as like, oh, this is legit and this is a real deal, they all start from similar ways. Like the start of medicine was also similar, right? It was like loads of mistakes and loads of figuring things out. And I think that because acupuncture has roots in Chinese medicine, right?
That's right. Yeah, developed in China, and then other countries in Asia developed their own style. So in Japan, acupuncture looks a bit different. Same in Korea, same in Taiwan. There's different versions. Yeah.
And would you say that acupuncture is, so you know how there's this whole East versus West thing? Like, do you know what I mean? Like East versus West, like more kind of traditional holistic medicine and approaches, and then the more kind of what do you call it, like Eastern philosophies or something?
I feel like we need both, and I always feel it's really important that both are available, because each have their strengths, and yeah, definitely we need both.
Same, I for sure do. I mean, when I was deep in kind of wellnessy culture and disordered eating, I was like completely like, I don't want any traditional medications, I don't want any medications or traditional approaches. I was all about, I guess I would call it natural stuff, but I guess now I would call it more, I guess I would call it more traditional. Is that what you would call it? What would be the right word in?
Yeah, traditional is one way. Yeah. One word, one good word.
Yeah, I totally think we need a blend of both. And on that note, most of my clients are women, and most of them have some sort of women's health problem. You know, many of my clients who are struggling with restrictive eating, they tend to lose their period. So the condition hypothalamic amenorrhea, and they also tend to have some sort of like hormonal problems, like maybe it's a condition like PCOS, or maybe just general like hormonal problems, right? Like which come up, like low energy and irregular periods and thyroid problems, all this kind of stuff. So can we talk a bit about women's health and like acupuncture stuff?
Yeah, acupuncture is a really brilliant tool alongside other things, because you mentioned the hypothalamic amenorrhea. So somebody with that, as a result of restriction and as a result of maybe over-exercising as well, they'll be maybe in under the care of another professional getting help with that. And alongside that, it will take time for the periods to come back. But acupuncture is really good at helping to help with hormonal health and help getting things back to a regular state. And I do help a lot of clients with PCOS and endometriosis as well.
Ah, so, yeah, of course. Yeah. And I wonder, like, so let's pretend I come to you and I have HA, for example. And let's say my HA is from restrictive eating, over-exercising, and I have a lot of stress from that. And then also just from like my life, let's say. Can like acupuncture on its own give me my period back in, let's say, 6 months? Or is it just like chance that it might help? Like that's the thing that I need? Or does it need to be like a whole approach, right?
I would say it's a whole approach, because you won't have that happening unless unless you are doing the other work as well, like eating enough, and there's if you've ended up in this place through restriction and over exercising, there would certainly be a reason to have somebody to talk to, you know, a professional that is specialist in this to help recover from that. And like I was saying earlier about how even a person with anxiety, they'll get further in their therapy because, you know, with going into parasympathetic state, they always say rest and digest. But this is when your hormones are you know, you get the hormones functioning better as well, and you get an improvement in the expression of hormones. So that's what we try to do. And you mentioned stress as well. Like if you came to me and you had stress as a result of all this, we work on the stress and getting a person more resilient in the face of a stressful life. And we say we can't take you away from the stressors of life. You know, there's always going to be stressors, but we make people more resilient in this stress and be able to manage their stress much better.
It reminds me of the interaction with like nutrition and therapy, when someone has disordered eating. Like, so I mean, I'm lucky that I'm like both of those roles, which is good for me. But often when I was like mostly like just a nutritionist like years ago, like clients would really struggle to like brain's not online, right? So like if you're undernourished, you can't really have like good therapy because your brain's like, ooh, I'm like, I'm out here, right? I'm in space. And it's only after renourishment that the brain kind of like opens up and is more able to process things and like the roots. So it kind of reminds me of that.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Can you tell us, I guess, let's pretend that I'm in Galway too, or let's say I have a client who's in Galway and I'm working with them because they have HA. And let's say we're working on the food stuff and the more like therapy stuff, and it's like, you know, renourishing them and reducing restriction and putting in coping skills and all of this. I mean, like, how do you know if they're fit for acupuncture and like how many appointments might they have? How does all of that work? If someone's like, oh, maybe like acupuncture could be helpful for me or for any like hormonal stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I always invite them to, you know, they come for the first session, and then, you know, everybody is such an individual. Everyone varies so much in how quickly they respond. So I think it's important to understand at the outset that it can take different amounts of people time for different people. And then if they enjoy it, and if they feel something good during the treatment or after the treatment, they start feeling like they're getting something out of it, then they continue as long as they're happy to continue, and until we see results, really. So we keep it quite open-ended. I don't, you know, and that would be the way I would approach it. And I don't know if we're going to get to this later. I think you were going to ask about how we might approach the food advice, because in traditional Chinese medicine or with acupuncture, we talk about sometimes you know, changing how we eat. And so when I don't ever want people to restrict or tell people not to, you know, not to have something. So I always maybe try and get people to approach it with a curiosity, like, what if we tried, you know, not having this, or maybe having more of this. We emphasize eating more warm foods and not eating a lot of really cold salads straight from the fridge in winter, because we consider that it inhibits digestion. So we always want people digesting their food really well. See a lot of people coming in with digestive issues, like in IBS and things like that. Or I often look at tell them maybe it's more important how are you eating than what you're eating. Are you rushing your meals, not chewing your food properly, eating while really, really stressed and not even tasting your food? And how can we change that? And then, you know, alongside the acupuncture treatment, then when they make those changes, that they start to digest their food really well, and their energy increases, and their digestion is now better, and they're not having the digestive issues they were having. So, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Ayurveda.
Oh yes, yeah, yeah,
Yeah. How do
yeah.
you
There
feel
is.
about Ayurveda?
I think Ayurveda is really interesting, and
Same.
it has really good principles. So it divides up people into like different types, and what might suit they, you know, like a constitution, like your constitution is one way, and you know, you'll suit this kind of a dietary diet. And I know they have herbs as well. So it would look at things similar to how Chinese medicine would look at, but it would be a different system. And I will say I don't know much more about it than that, but I know that if people wanted to try it, that there could definitely be benefits to it as well.
Yeah, I'm for sure not an expert either, but I played around with Ayurveda for many years but I was struggling with disordered eating at the time, so it was so disordered. Many of my clients also, they kind of come to Ayurveda from the same way. Oh. But I mean, yeah, but things like, you know, eating warm food, like in the winter, it makes perfect sense.
It makes good sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
But when it comes in
diet culture, I was going to say diet culture has a lot to answer for with all this pushing of the salads, the freezing cold salads.
Coming back to acupuncture and food. So like, I mean, I know that you don't kind of push any weight loss or too much food stuff, but like, for example, when I Googled acupuncture nutrition, it comes up with this thing called like the acupuncture diet. And it's like, eat less carbs than you think you should, and like eat low GI foods and all of this. Like, what's the deal with like, how do acupuncturists view nutrition?
I think you see, practitioners are working on a very individual basis, and they're working with their own experience and what they might be going through themselves, and they might be swept up in diet culture the way many people would have been in the past. And you know, it's only slowly that the tide is changing. So when clients come to me and they tell me, well, I'm on this diet, I've just started it, I remind them of the risks. You're risking disordered eating, and from disordered eating, some people might go on and end up in full on eating disorder. So I remind them of the risks and remind them that, you know, that actually you don't need to lose weight. We can focus on health promoting behaviors, and we can improve your health in other ways. And sometimes they're open to hearing about it, and sometimes they're not ready to hear about it. And I meet everyone where they are and see where they're at with what they're going through. But again, there are some acupuncturists that are aware of the anti-diet and are working within that as well. So I wouldn't be the only one, but maybe in time to come, there will be more of us. You have to meet people where they're at. And, you know, I'll see people every week for maybe 3 months. And then maybe by the end of the 3 months, they'll have come around to it. But maybe not the first day if I go in and say it has to be this way.
Yeah.
But, you know, when people sleep get better, if someone's on 4 hours of sleep a night and restricting, if they're not restricting, but they've told me they want to lose weight and they're not sleeping right, of course they're going to be having intense food cravings, intense carbohydrate cravings. If we get them back sleeping 8 hours a night, that goes away. If we get their stress levels down and their lifestyle better, and you know, I tell them to, you know, we talk about a better approach to food. This is also something that we do over time. And it's the same, I'm sure, the same way you work, that, you know, this doesn't happen overnight. It might happen over the course of many weeks, that you have somebody having a better relationship with food after a number of weeks. Imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
If I really feel like people are needing more support, and they tell me that they're aware that they have disordered eating, then I definitely refer them on to somebody whose main focus is that. Again, it's like with nutritionists and dietitians, aren't enough that are anti-diet, and I have to find the ones that are. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I really loved hearing you talk about acupuncture. And, you know, usually when I have these episodes with guests, we usually come to the end and we have a few tips about whatever we've spoken about. But in this case, all of your work happens in the clinic room, so it's a bit different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was wondering, maybe instead of tips, maybe you can maybe talk a bit about, for the listeners, how maybe acupuncture or general like well-being, because this is what acupuncture is, like general, you know, whole person well-being. Maybe can you talk about the role of that in having a better relationship with food and your body? And if you want to throw in some tips, you know, feel free, but can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I love seeing how people will come to me and they're not really in their bodies. They're not feeling their body's cues. Things are very dysregulated, and we change all of that. We get things into a much more regulated state, and their minds become calm. They achieve much more clarity. They can be more receptive to the other work that they're having to do. We'll just say they're in eating disorder support, for example, that this is not overnight work. This is stuff that takes weeks and months, and it's not always straightforward. There can be challenges along the way. So this can really, really assist in the journey, and it can help, with recovering the health of the body, because if the body the health has been diminished through restricted eating, for example, we want to help you build back up your reserves and your energy as well. So yeah, it can be a really nice piece in supporting someone like that and bringing them back into good hormonal health as well.
Yeah, that point about people being disconnected from their body and themselves, I actually have never even thought about that in terms of how acupuncture would play a role, because that is actually, I mean, my working theory is always disordered eating is really often disconnection from yourself and your body. So that makes perfect sense to me. And I really wish that we could have like a clinic that's like an all-in-one deal that's like therapy, nutritionists, dietitians, acupuncturists, physios. Like I wish that there was like an all-in-one space for like disordered eating, because I really think that that would be a really good shout, don't
That sounds like an amazing idea. We
you?
can make that happen in the
Pending.
future, or maybe I can.
Pending. Yeah. Well, you gave the listeners the resource of the evidence-based acupuncture website. Obviously, I'll link your website. Anything else you want to tell people about?
I have some stuff on, so I try and post on my Instagram. It's been on the back burner a little bit, but it'll get more active now this year. So we might as well link my Instagram as well. It's
Yeah.
AccuGlow Acupuncture. And for those with looking for more information about fertility, I have a long form article about fertility on my website as well. It's in the resources section,
Oh,
so that might
great.
be of interest too.
Yeah, awesome. And I mean, I know that, I mean, do I know this? Do you do any online help for people, or is it just in person in Galway?
People might have an online consult to find out a bit more, to make sure that if they're unsure whether the treatment is right for them. I always invite people to have a chat online, and there's no charge for that, so we can have a quick conversation, and I'll find out what's happening, and they can ask me any questions they have, and then they can feel more reassured about making an appointment. That's
Yeah,
it.
awesome. Awesome. Last question for me, which is a funny one. Can you do acupuncture online? Is there any like online
No.
people?
No. No.
Well, I've loved
Unfortunately
talking to
not.
you, and I hope that my questions on acupuncture were all right.
Oh, I enjoyed answering all of those.
All good. And if people have questions, they can maybe email you, right?
They're very welcome to email me or direct message on Instagram, although I don't always see them, but yeah, email is probably better.
Awesome. Awesome.
Great.
Well, thanks for having you on. I always let my guests end the episode with you can just say bye, or you can give any final thoughts. You have the floor to end.
I'd like to say goodbye and say thank you again, Shannon. And that's all for me.
Amazing. That's all, folks. I
Okay.
think it's Mickey Mouse that says that. That's all, folks. So, yeah.
Oh.
Thanks for coming on, and I'll talk to everyone else in the next episode. Bye bye.
Bye.